Session number 26951.
Mr. Lawson, Reel 2. What influenced your decision to join this particular regiment?
Because it was Sunderland's own. It was a new regiment that was being formed in Sunderland. And I had never contemplated joining the Territorial Army until this was announced, that there was going to be a Sunderland regiment.
But did your family influence you in any way?
No, they didn't. I didn't tell my mother and father what I was going to do. I just went out one night and went to the drill hall, signed on, came home and told them that I joined the Territorial Army. My father was rather pleased, I think, because I was joining the Royal Artillery, which he'd been in during the First World War. My mother was distressed, but got used to the idea, and I think they were rather proud that I had.
What other things did you have to do to enlist? Was that it? You just signed on?
Yeah, you signed on, and you went to the drill hall. I'm not sure whether it was once or twice a week.
Which drill hall?
The drill hall now then. Yes, it was Livingston Road Drill Hall, which was in Sunderland. The drill hall at Dagland's Road, which is still there, that hadn't been built in. So the drill hall was at Livingston Road.
Was there any kind of medical examination?
If there was, I can't remember it. I suspect that there was, because I don't think they would allow crooks into the territory. I suspect that there was a medical of some description, but what form it took, I just can't remember.
Where were you initially posted? Just to that drill hall?
Just to that drill hall, yes. As I say, we used to go there, as I say, twice a week and do our drills, marching, rifle drill, things that are basic things for a soldier to do in the early stages.
Were you issued with a uniform?
Yes, eventually we were, which was a good fit, strangely enough. Issued with a uniform, and I went out, as I say, again one night, and we didn't know we were going to be issued with uniforms. Went to get fitted out for the uniforms, and I decided to go home in my uniform. Now, instead of it, I took a bag, we were given a bag to put our uniform in, but I kept mine on and put my clothes in. And again, there was a rather weeping and wailing when I got into the house with my uniform on.
What did it consist of?
Jacket. Trousers, boots, putties in those days. Now, people might know what putties are, but putties were a long strip of material about 3 feet wide that you wound round your ankles to keep your trousers pouched over them, like what you want, like plus fours, but much lower down. I don't think we were, I can't remember being issued with underclothes in those days. Shirts, yes, khaki shirts.
Any other equipment that you were issued with?
Finally we did. We were issued with a mess tin, a knife and fork and spoon. This was before we went to camp. I can't remember anything else. These were items that we could bring away, but of course there were other items that weren't removed from the drill hall, rifles and things like this, obviously. Yeah.
What form did the nightly drills take in the drill hall? What sort of things did you do?
Well, again, it was mainly mainly marching drills and rifle drills. They were the two main things.
Was the kit inspection? Were you inspected?
Well, we didn't have much kit. You know, in those early days, we didn't get really kitted out until we went to fully kitted out until we went to our annual what was to be our annual camp, and then you had socks and shaving gear and all this sort of thing, you know, small items, personal items, but you had to produce them, of course, kit inspections.
How did you react initially to this army lifestyle?
It wasn't a matter of reacting to it. It was a matter of doing as you were told. Again, we come back to the word discipline. Discipline was strict. No question about it. The sergeant and the bombardiers told you what to do, and you jumped to attention, mate. Yeah, it was very, very strict. So anyone who didn't like that sort of life, they had, I don't know what they did, quite frankly. I don't know. They were punished if they did disobey, obviously. But I got along with it all right. I went along with it.
Who was in charge of the unit?
Colonel Dean. Colonel Dean. He's a wonderful man. He went abroad with us eventually, and of course died. But he was a wonderful man, was Colonel Dean.
When was this? You mentioned camp.
Yeah.
When was the camp?
Yeah, we went to camp. That this annual camp was going to be for 2 weeks, and it was to Whitby. I can't remember whereabouts in Whitby, but it was could have been on the moor somewhere, and I have no recollection of. I think we were in tents, but I'm not quite sure. But the intention was to do manoeuvres, and we did have little experience then, and we had a few 4.5 howitzers, and we used to do gun drills and things like that. But after about a week, the 26th of August, and I'm not remembering this, I'm reading it. On the 26th of August, we went to Whitby Camp, and we were to be recalled after barely a week. That was because of the state of the political situation.
Can you remember where you were when war was actually declared?
Yeah, very clear. We came back from Whitby Camp, and the regiment was billeted in various parts of Sunderland. I was billeted in some stables, would you believe, in an area of Sunderland called the Sheepfolds. These stables were perfectly clean, but we had mattresses and we slept on the stone floor. That was rather a shock from home life, but never mind. There used to be a guard on the gates of the drill hall. Guards usually imply that you have some sort of armament. We didn't have any armament, or at least we weren't allowed to use rifles on guard. We had what we called a stick guard. That literally meant you had a stick. And on the 3rd of September, I was on stick guard, and someone in the guardhouse had a wireless, and they turned it up when Neville Chamberlain made his speech on the 3rd of September, and I listened to it whilst I was on stick guard.
Was the announcement a surprise?
Not really. Not really. In fact, I think that a lot of people had expected war to be declared a lot earlier than what it was.
How did you feel at the time when you heard the news?
I don't think I had any feeling at all. It was just another announcement and another step in the career that I'd, well, not career, but in the fact that I'd joined the army. This is what we were going to do. This is why we joined the Territorials. If there was going to be a war, we were going to go to war. And this was the start of it. I don't think there was any real feeling about it at all. It was just something that was inevitable.
Was there an anticipation that the war would last a long time?
No. No, I think people rather thought that it was going to be over very, very quickly. I can't place a time on that, but I don't think people thought it was going to last more than a year, 18 months.
But what was the general feeling that the result of the war would be?
I don't understand that question.
Did you think that we would win the war?
Oh, yes, obviously.
Was there a feeling,
yes.
A feeling of confidence?
Oh, perhaps? Yes, yes. I don't think there's any doubt that we were going to win the war, but how we were going to win it and when we were going to win it wasn't questions that we could answer.
Was there a sense of patriotism? Did people feel that they were
definitely
going to fight for the king and the country?
Oh, definitely. No question about that at all.
For the families?
Oh, yes, yes. That was the patriotism was absolute. You know, the Union Jack was the symbol of the nation, really. Oh yes, there's no question I can't remember any antagonism toward the war or any disagreement. If there was, it was the people that disagreed with were very, very few and far between.
Was there a sense of fear, perhaps, of what would happen?
No, I don't think there was, because we didn't know what was going to happen. You know, we didn't know. We knew the aircraft would be involved and the bombs would drop, but I don't think, amongst soldiers, I don't think there was any fear. Because, again, it was something that you expected.
So what happened after that? You were in these billets in the sheepfolds.
Yeah.
What happened after war was declared?
Right. The regiment was spread over, say, various parts of Sunderland. The drill hall at Dykeman's Road, that had been built, and that was our regimental headquarters. There were some of our men billeted in the Seaburn Hall, in the Beer Hotel, sleeping on the dance floor, which I've done before. Some in Seaburn Camp, in various parts spread over Sunderland.
What was the accommodation like then? How did you get yourselves organised, and what was your daily routine like?
I don't really know. I can't remember an awful lot about it, except you got up in the morning, you did your drill, you got your breakfast, you did your drills, then you were told where you were going to go and what you were going to do, but quite frankly, I can't remember much about it.
Oh, and where did you go from here then?
Right. From Sunderland, we went to we eventually moved to Norfolk in the Norwich area.
Was this to a camp?
Yes. It wasn't a camp for the whole regiment, because the regiment was spread across Norfolk, because at that time we changed the regiment had changed from the 12 from the 74th Field Regiment to the 125 Anti-Tank Regiment, and we didn't like the idea of being anti-tank guns in little 2-pounder pop-ups as against up with the 18-pounders that we were working on. But we went to Norfolk, and some of the regiment were in gun emplacements around the Norfolk coast in, with the anti-tank guns.
What was the camp like? Can you describe it?
The camp that I was in a place called Cadden Park. The residence of a, I understand he was a director of Barclays Bank. He had this huge mansion which was which he handed over to the army. But I was actually in tent, in a tent in Cadden Park.
How many of them were to a tent?
Oh, I can't remember really, 10, 12, something like that.
And what did you sleep on?
Mattresses made of straw mattresses. But it was better than sleeping on a hard concrete floor in the sheepfolds, because you were sleeping on earth, you know. It was in a park.
How did you manage to keep it clean?
Well, you didn't really. There was no sweeping out to be done, because you were just sweeping grass. It didn't need any cleaning, really. It's not like being in a building where you've got to sweep the floor and clean the windows and this sort of thing. There was no really cleaning to be done. The only cleaning you did was keep yourself clean.
What about sanitation then?
Yeah, the sanitation, there were latrines that were dug near the tents, thunder boxes, you know, something going back to the old times where in the Colley villages where you, not only Colley villages, but in the old days when you used to have to go down the bottom of the yard. And there were latrines. They were all right, they were reasonable. There was no complaints against them.
How did you get washed?
There were wash houses built as well. You know, to put temporary wash houses in basis of always cold water, of course. You never had hot water. Shaving with cold water is rather a problem.
What was the food like?
Food was basically good. Basically good. It was a good all-round balanced diet. We never had... I had very little complaints about the food. Some people did, but I'm not making myself out to be a bloke who just accepted everything that came along. But there was an awful lot of chaps that would complain about just about everything. But the food was as good as what the normal population were getting. Let us put it that way. In fact, I should think in some cases a little bit better.
How did you react to... the army lifestyle, all of a sudden being thrust together, all these young men into one place,
comrade,
probably away from home for the first time.
Comradeship. You had your friends, everybody pulled together. They used to work together, drink together, enjoy ourselves together. You know, it was a matter of comradeship, really. And people who, there were very, very few people who didn't join in and to help everybody else. You know, everybody helped each other.
What was discipline like?
As I say, very strict. During the war, very strict. Timekeeping in particular. You know, you were allowed out at night time at, I don't know what time it would be, but you're allowed time off, and you used to go out in, we used to go down into Norwich to the boozers and to the dance halls and try and pull the birds. But you had to be back at a certain time. And anybody who wasn't back on time and didn't check in at the guard at a certain time, you either had to get in some other way or you were put on extra drills or extra punishments in the cook house or whatever, doing extra duties as a punishment. Discipline was very, very strict. But you just got on with it. I'm afraid that term, get on with it, is going to occur very frequently in this interview.
What duties were there to do at the camp? Guard duties, perhaps?
Well, there were guard duties. There were cook house duties, helping the cook house. I don't know really that I can remember an awful lot about that. No, I can't. Guard duties, cook house duties is about all that I can remember.
What about recreation? You mentioned going out there on an evening.
Oh yeah, oh recreation.
It was what you about made sport you made and things.
Sorry?
Sport things like
oh
that.
Yes, there was a regimental football team, the regimental cricket team. We had a sports day, you know, Saturday was usually a sports day. You didn't have to take part, but it was generally expected that you would. Kick the ball about, you know, had a bit of fun.
Was there an opportunity to gamble? Was gambling right?
Not to my knowledge.
What was the army's reaction to gambling? Or attitude to gambling, should I say?
I don't really know. I suspect that it wouldn't be accepted. But to my knowledge, there was no gambling at all.
How did the local population receive you?
Oh, very well. Oh, very well. Wherever we went, except in North Wales, which I can tell you about later. But generally speaking, the local population were very, very good to us. They used to help us out a lot. You know, they used to invite us to their houses for luncheon on a Sunday or something like that. But generally speaking, the local population, wherever we went, were very good.
Did you get opportunity to see the newsreels at the picture houses?
Oh yes, you got the pictures and see the newsreels.
What was the men's and your own reaction to them? I take it you would see the newsreels of what was happening in the war. And
that's right. There wasn't very much of actual activity. It was mainly news. I can't remember. You know, it's not like seeing things that are happening in the present day where you see places blown up and guns firing and people running around streets with rifles. You didn't see anything of that sort of thing on the news, really. It was more or less basic stuff. I think the reason for it all was for security, of course.
But what about leave? How often did you get leave?
Yeah. I think it was probably just about a week at a time. But leave depended entirely on the situation, the war situation, and what the regiment was going to be moved or what was going to happen. But we got leave, but it wasn't very frequent.
What about your daily routine at this particular time in this initial training phase? What was the daily routine?
Daily routine was mainly drill.
What time was reveille? What time did you aroused?
Now, I don't really know. I can probably say it was something like 7 o'clock, but I wouldn't really like to say. But parade was usually at something like 8:30 in the morning, the initial parade.
And you were inspected then?
Oh yes, inspected. And then you went off to your various drills. It was drill, drill, drill. Gun drill, gun drill, gun drill. It was two. The anti-tank gun is drawn on behind a truck. It had to be, you had to loosen it from the truck and assemble the gun and fire the first round. And there was always competition as to how long that had to take. The reason being that unless you were in a static position, the anti-tango was supposed to be, you were usually going to have to go to somewhere where the tanks were coming from. Obviously, the tanks were on the move, and you had to be on the move, and you had to get your shot in before they got the shot at you. That's really trivialising it, but it was basically gun drill, gun drill, gun drill to quicken up the reaction of the soldiers to getting into action and firing the first shot.
How many were there on a gun crew, and what were their roles?
Right. The leader was what was called the number one. There was a second one was a layer. He was a man. The number one stood and looked either over the looked over the gun shield, or there was a hole in the gun shield you could look through. The layer sat in a seat, and he looked through what you would call it, I suppose, a telescope, which was graduated, and he took his orders from the number one as to where the target was. And he also fired the gun, because it was fired by a foot pedal. Then there were two men loading, and I think another two that were bringing ammunition from the truck to the gun. So I would say 2, 4, 5, 6. The powers that be might well contradict that, but I think, as far as I remember, there was probably six to a gun team.
But what was your role?
I was the number one. I had two stripes. I was a bombardier. It's corporal usually, but it's in the Royal Artillery, it's bombardier.
When did you get these stripes?
Oh, now then. I really can't remember. I got one first, and then I got another one, but I really can't remember when I got them.
Did you have to learn each other's roles so that you could do?
Oh yes, definitely.
Any role on the gun team?
Oh yes, the rest of the gun team had to know what the number one's duty was in case of fatalities or in case of anybody being wounded.
How was the regiment organised in relation to the number of guns in the various?
There were four batteries to the regiment. I was in D battery, A, B, C, and D. I was in D battery. I think there were four troops to a battery, and there was, I don't know how many guns there was to each troop, so I've forgotten. That's about as far as I can tell you about that. And that's open to contradiction. You're really, really delving into my memory.
So what was the training, what did that entail? I mean, you described getting the first round off as quickly as possible. Yeah. I tell you do other exercises and other with the guns.
No, it's not with an anti-tank gun. It's basically a matter of getting the gun into a position, assembling it, and firing it.
There was no tactical training, such as concealment.
And you used to have to try it. If you're in a static position, you had to camouflage your guns.
Did you do any other kind of training whilst you were in Norfolk? With any other kind of weaponry? Did you do?
Did rifle drills.
Rifle drills.
But rifle, rifle drill was really, we'd learnt all of that in the Territorial Army. We knew what a rifle was all about.
Was there a certain standard that you had to come up to?
No, not that I'm aware of. It was a matter of that was assessed. The standard was assessed by the officers, but there was never any standard of or degree of efficiency that was required. I think that was probably impossible, really. You trained people to their maximum, and that's all they could be trained to.